You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 7. Concerning the spiritualities. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with the dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking in the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but in the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh thee all things in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, and in whose name we ask it. Amen. Father God, we recognize our great need here this morning, and we're so grateful that we can come and have that need met. Consequently, we look to the Holy Spirit now to take the things of Christ and bring them alive. Cleanse us and sanctify us now here at this moment in time, that we may receive a blessing from your hand. Be very careful at the outset to thank you for attending to each little detail. Every heart need here might be met, beginning with me. Help us to worship thee in this spirit and truth this morning. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Some of you may wonder why we skipped over the Lord's Supper in the 11th chapter. Now, we purposely passed over that because of our service we're going to have here the 19th. We're coming back and pick it up at that time. Now, through the first 11 chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul has been writing to this sophisticated intellectual church at Corinth. And he's been dealing with carnal things of the flesh. These people, keep in mind, had just come out of a pagan background. And whilst they had received Christ as their personal Savior, as he said in chapter 3 and verse 1, you're carnal, you're still babes in Christ. And so for 11 chapters, he dealt with the things that have to do with the flesh. And finally, you can almost sense this if you read between the lines, particularly the last verse in the 11th chapter. You see his desire to get away from talking about the things of the flesh. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. In other words, I've dealt long enough with these carnal things. I want to get that out of the way. Now, concerning the spiritualities. He wants to move out from the carnal to the things that really count. And he begins by saying, brethren, I would not have you to be, and this is it, this is the word, ignoramus. I wouldn't have you to be ignoramuses. You know, there was a time you Gentiles, this is a little satire, I think, on the side. He said, you know, you Gentiles at one time were carried around with those dumb idols from paganism. You remember how you were led around that way? That's what he's saying. Now, in any carnal group of saints, you find that each little segment is criticizing and finding fault with the other. Consequently, verse 3 tells us, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking, not by the Spirit, but in the Spirit, that is, being energized of the Spirit of God, can call Jesus anathema, accursed." That no man can say that Jesus is his Lord except in the Spirit. Or you can say it in the flesh that Jesus is anathema, that Jesus is Lord, but no man can say it in the Spirit unless he be his. Consequently, sometimes it's hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys because you don't know whether they're speaking in the Spirit or not. They may be carnal. If they are carnal, they're not speaking in the Spirit. They're just speaking in the flesh. You're either in one of three conditions. You're outside of Christ entirely. You're in Christ in the flesh, or you're in Christ in the Spirit. This is the point that he's making. He has moved from the natural to the supernatural. You quite frequently hear people say, "Oh my, he's so spiritual." Well, spiritual is simply the opposite of that which is natural. It's supernatural. That's what we mean by being spiritual. You're supernatural. And if you're energized of the Spirit, you are supernatural. What you do and act upon is not natural. It's supernatural. You see? That's what spirituality is. It's the things of the Spirit. And through chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15, Paul deals with the spiritualities. In contrast to what he had been dealing with in the flesh, the carnalities. Now, in verse 4, now there are differences or diversities of gifts. Gifts, if you have one from God, is simply the capacity for service. That's all. It's not something to boast about, just to be something to be very grateful for. Many of the gifts that will be listed, which we will be touching upon next week, are not apropos today, but they were apropos when this was written. And we'll see that in a very scriptural way. But whether we refer to gifts as they were then or now, the principle is the same. No man can boast of any gift. He has nothing that he did not receive from God. Nothing to be boastful about, just something to be very grateful about. A gift is simply the capacity to serve. That's all. Let me point this out to you, but this is important. One of the things that Christians do when they get saved, they say, "Well, I want what God want me to do." Well, God doesn't want you to do anything, actually. He wants you to be something. Remember in the first chapter of this book, it said we've been called into the fellowship of His Son. God wants you to be in fellowship with His Son. That's what He wants from you. If you are in fellowship with His Son, then we'll be seeing that these diversities of gifts that He energizes you with will cause you to be what Paul writes about in Philippians, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Not your good pleasure, His good pleasure. Quite frequently, we do what we want to do. But it's what God wants done that counts. You see? It's like the illustration I gave you at the outset about the man who resigned his oil presidency, getting ready to go to South America. That's what he was ready to do. So obviously God didn't want him to go there. He shut the door. You remember in the book of Acts, twice over, Paul wanted to move toward the east. God said, no, that door's shut. Turn around and go the other way. See? So it is not what we do. It's what we are. It's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be in fellowship. That's what we've been called to. You may wonder, what was my calling? That's your calling. First chapter, 1 Corinthians. He starts right off that letter. And he closes this epistle by saying, in the light of that fact, let me show you the connecting verse. I called your attention to it before, but I want you to get a hold of it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, and chapter 15 and verse 58. Remember these two verses, because they go right together. Everything in between them gives us a reason. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, if you're in fellowship with him, whatever he energizes you to do is the place of peace and tranquility. I remember in the war and some very hairy experiences. My mind was not even concerned about the hairiness of the possibilities of what might have happened to me. I didn't even think about that until it was all over with. Then I shook like this in my boots. But at the time, I didn't even think about it, you see. I had the assurance and peace to go into it. And so this is what we're talking about. Whatever God has energized you for, the end of it will be good. You won't have to think the thing through too much. You see, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that if I seem a little bit funny to you, you may seem a little bit funny to me, but it's the same Spirit, you see, if we are in fellowship with his Son. You're not going to please everybody, I assure you that. But if you're in fellowship with his Son, it really doesn't matter. Therefore, always abounding. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, if you're energized of God's Spirit. There are diversities of spirit of gifts, but they're just one Spirit, the same Spirit. This is why we need to try the spirits from whence they are. If they don't shape up according to the Word of God, we need to back away and take a look at it. Not only are there diversities of gifts, or rather of gifts, but there are also, in the next verse, tells us that there are diversities of administration. But it's the same Lord. Diversities of administration are simply opportunities for service. Reminds me of Peter questioning our Lord. Jesus had said, feed my sheep, three different times to him. And he saw John over there, just looking around, and he said, what about that fellow? What are you going to do with him? Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, don't worry about him. You just go ahead and do what I had you to do. I'll take care of John when the time comes. Don't worry about that. We don't have to worry about what God's doing with somebody else. It's what he's doing with me, you see. The opportunities for service, that's what the different administrations of God are for. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are different opportunities to be energized of God, but it's the same Lord. Notice, it's the Spirit, it's the Lord. And the next verse, notice. The diversity of operations. That word operations is our English word energy. Different energies. Same God who energizes the all things in all. We're going to emphasize that just in a minute. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Amazing, isn't it? God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. See? Same. There's no friction there at all. Differences of gifts? Yes. Differences of administration? Yes. Differences of energy? Yes. But the same God. That's why we're told so many times in so many different ways, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for whereof is he to be accounted of? If you note that most of our difficulties as Christians is because we have our eyes upon man, and we compare ourselves with men. As long as you do that, you're in the flesh. It's that simple. Our eyes should be upon Him, upon Christ. We will not ignore what men say, but we will weigh well what they say based upon what thus saith the Lord. We will not weigh men by what they do, but what they do according to their relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do this based upon the Word of God. This way we do not set in judgment. God is the judge of the universe, not us. You see? It's a big enough problem to deal with my own problems without trying to solve what I consider problems in the other fellow's life. Now, it does not mean that we're not concerned with our brother's problems. We are. We're concerned where they're concerned. This is what we should be concerned about. If you have a brother or sister that has a problem, and you know about it, and you know they need help, and they want help, then, of course, it's obvious that God has put that person in a place where you can help. You see, this is the weakness of man's social programs. He's out fishing, you know, and he doesn't know where to go in the first place because it's so vast, everybody's got problems. But if it's not energized in God, God has to be behind the thing. That's what makes it worthwhile. I had a party call me this week concerning an alcoholic that needs some help. And to be downright honest with you, my experience in dealing with alcoholics has been about a zero. I've not been very successful. And I recognize this fact. And so I went to see a friend of mine who knows a little bit about this. I don't know what kind of a connection they made yet. I'm hoping they will. But he was tickled to death that here was an opportunity for him to be of some use. I certainly didn't feel up to it, because every time I've tried it, I fell flat on my face. I have a fella I've been working with for 25 years who's now in Tulsa and is on his deathbed almost, and he gets drunk and he calls me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and cusses me out because I don't come over there. I tell you, it's amazing what I, you know, what you can't do something that's not in your calling. And you need to learn these things, you see. There are different gifts. There are different opportunities for service. And there are different energies. Some energies require great physical strain. Other energies require great mental strain. And you may say, well, I'll take the mental strain. Well, I guarantee you that's not so easy either. And you get headaches from it, you find out that that's not an easy way either. The physical strain sometimes is the lesser of the two, but it doesn't really matter which way. If God is the author of it, that's what's important. Because if it's just an exercise of the mind, the scriptures tell us that much study in the flesh is a weariness of the flesh. On the other hand, if it's energized the Spirit of God, it's very profitable. Much common labor is of no profit whatsoever. It just goes to feed your belly, and that's all. It goes on down the draught, see, and it doesn't accomplish anything. Much physical labor is marvelous in the eyes of God because it's His work. That's what really counts. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are diversities of opportunities, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of energies. It's the same God. This is what we need to recognize this in our daily walk. We don't have to be concerned about what God's doing with other people. We need to be concerned about what God is doing with me. Like Peter, we need to be told, don't worry about John. I'll take care of him. You go ahead and do what you're called to do. You can take care of that end, see? That's a big enough job. Now notice again in verse 6. It's the diversities of energies. It's the same God which energizes. And put this as a notation on the side of your Bible because it should be there. It's in the Greek text. There are diversities of energies. It's the same God which energizes the all things in all. Now that's very important. And some of you understand that distinction with a definite article in there. But for the benefit of those who don't, I want to spend just a minute on that. It's unfortunate in our Bibles that the definite articles are not emphasized like they ought to be, because they make distinct statements, those articles do. All things of God mean bad or good, makes no difference. Like, for instance, we know that all things work together for good to them that love, that are called. We know that all things work together for good. Now, the devil is sure getting me in the mind. Yeah, I can't quote this. I know it. Somebody go ahead and finish it off for me. To them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. That's right. That's all things, whether good or bad. Makes no difference. On the other hand, God freely gives us not all things, the all things of Christ. That's just good. No, He don't give any bad. He gives the good. He works all things together for good. Now look at that with that thought in mind. There are diversities of energies. It's the same God which energizes what the all things. That's the good things, not the bad. God never energizes you to do something bad. He energizes you to do something that will be good for all. the all in all. That's why you can know it's from His hand. In other words, there is a popular thinking, even amongst theologians sometimes, and very popular in the people that are real smart, that the end justifies the means. It does not. The end does not justify the means. You see? There's no shortcut. The devil tried to even put that lie to our Lord when he said to him, as he took him up into the high mountains side, he said, "All the kingdoms of this world I'll give you if you just fall down and worship." Now, the devil knew why our Lord had come. He came to receive all the kingdoms of this world. And in essence of what Satan was saying was, you don't have to go through all this. I'll give you the shortcut. Our Lord did not say to him, "We don't have any authority to do it," because the kingdoms of this world do belong to the devil. That's why Paul, writing about it, that the god of this world is Satan. See, you may have thought he was somebody else, but that's who it is. And our Lord did not question the devil when he said that. He simply turned to him and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The devil didn't say anything about serving, you see. "But he who you worship is he who you serve." You see? There are diversities of gifts. It's the same Spirit. There are diversities of operations or opportunities for service. It's the same Lord. There are diversities of energies. It's the same God that energizes the all things in all of God's people. That energy is operative, regardless of what it is, what direction it's moving. If you see, the test is this every time. It comes right back to the ninth verse of the first chapter, the fellowship with His Son. The gift you're exercising, is it in fellowship with His Son? The place of service, is it in fellowship with His Son? The energy that drives you, is it in fellowship with His Son? You see? This is the questions we have. You see, the Holy Spirit has come with a several-fold ministry. One of the most important is the Holy Spirit is a critic. And this is why when we study Scripture, we need to realize that one of the basic or first fundamental things that the Spirit of God does in our life is to criticize, to bring to our attention the things that are out of focus, you see. It isn't something to be discouraged about. It's something to be in the fact that He calls your attention to you tells you that you belong to Him. See? He does not criticize the world. I don't mean a thing. He talks to His own people. He's a critic. You see? Get the point that He's driving. The Spirit of God is teaching us some more. The gift that you feel that you're called of God with, is it because of your fellowship with the Lord? The service you're involved in, is it because of your fellowship with the Lord? The energy that moves you around, is it because of your fellowship with the Lord? This is the critic aspect of the teachings of the Holy Spirit, you see. Does all these things, is it good things that's going in for the profit of all? That's what that's talking about. Now, verse 7, last. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, if you can answer yea on all three scores, a point at the beginning, this manifestation of the Spirit of God is given you, what for? That every one of God's people can profit by it, or profit from it. It is not given you for your profit, but for their profit. As Paul put it, you know, to show you the balance of things. You know, in the there was a time in Paul's life when he was caught up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, and he saw things that was unlawful for a human mind to perceive or see. And when he came back to earth, you know what God did? He put a thorn in Paul's flesh. You know why? Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. So if you can honestly face up to the fact that whatever gift you have of God is because of your fellowship with His Son, if you can face up to the fact that whatever service you're involved in is because of your fellowship with the Lord, if you feel that the energies that drive you are because of the fellowship with His Lord, you see, that's a pretty exalted position, if you realize that fact. But then the bubble is burst in a hurry. This manifestation is given to you for what? For the profit of all concerned. Not for your profit. Not something that you can get up on a roost, on a peak and crow about. But for the profit and the benefit of the whole of God's people. You see? I say these seven verses really give us a picture of the Holy Spirit's work as a critic, because it makes the contrast between what he had been dealing with for 11 chapters, the fleshly, the carnal nature of man, as opposed to the things that are not just natural, but that are spiritual or supernatural, if you will. That's the difference between natural. You know, we often use that word. What is natural? That which you can explain by natural means. What is supernatural? That which you can explain by supernatural means. This is why the world thinks we're all a little bit funny, you see, because we don't conform to the natural facts as man has them. What he does not realize that his facts are very limited. What we realize is that God, the one who supplies the energies, the knowledge that we have, is infinite. He has all the facts. Our time is gone. But this, if you can keep these thoughts in your mind, then next week we'll be dealing with some of the gifts that God gave to that early church and what the reason for it was. And why many of those gifts are not operative today. And it is not a matter of an expression of an opinion, but based upon what God says in the book, you see. Father God, thank you again for this message that brings to the heart and mind of each of us what our great needs are in our fellowship with your Son. That this shall cause us all the more to begin to trust you every moment of every day, as the song implied that we sang at the beginning of the service. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to use our efforts here this morning to the glory of your great Son, for the edification of your people, and for our strength and encouragement. Blessed to these ends, Father, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, and in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.